So while I was studying for the sermon this morning and reading through some Old Testament stuff, I was thinking about what it must have been like to go to the temple in the Old Testament. And one writer I came across mentioned that it was probably like going to a combination of three things all in one. A church, a slaughterhouse, and an open-air kitchen. He said this because of all the sacrifices that were continually done throughout the life of a Jewish person in the Old Testament. And I thought it'd be interesting to just go through a few of the things that they gave sacrifices for. First of all, there was something that they did daily. A daily offering was given in the morning and the evening, and it was always a unblemished lamb. A perfect lamb was brought before the temple and was offered in the morning and offered in the evening, done to receive favor from the Lord every day. So you think of that sacrifice by itself throughout the thousands of years that worship was done at the temple in Jerusalem, and imagine how many lambs have been slaughtered over the years. And then you go on, there were burnt offerings in which maybe a bull or a sheep or a goat or even a dove or a pigeon, depending on how much money you had, really, was sacrificed. That also was done to receive favor from God or acceptance by God. There were times where you would do a peace offering, which was to not only ask for peace between yourself and God, but peace between you and another family. Maybe you had a dispute, or maybe there needed to be something settled, so you would have a peace offering there. There it could have been a bull or a cow, a sheep or a goat, to again have acceptance from God. There were sin offerings, which again, depending on how much money you might have had, it could have been a bull, a goat, a sheep, doves, pigeons, or even flour. And this was done to cleanse yourself of your sin, and to receive permission to be into God's presence and to have forgiveness. Then there were guilt offerings, and this was done if you unintentionally did something to offend God in the temple, or even intentionally did something to offend God. There it was a ram that was sacrificed. Then there was something that was called the Day of Atonement. And this was a special celebration done once a year in which the priest would receive a bull. And the bull was sacrificed just for the sins of the priest alone, just so that he was clean enough to go and do the rest of the ceremony. And then two goats were brought in, and one goat was sacrificed to cleanse the entire congregation so that they could be prepared to even do the rest of the ceremony. And then the next goat also was sacrificed in a way. And then yearly there would be the celebration of the Passover, which individual families would take a lamb, again, an unblemished lamb, and they would slaughter it, they would cook it, they would eat from it, they would use its blood to paint on the doorposts of their house, recalling the time when they were in Egypt and the angel of death passed over them. You look at it and you got to think that the amount of animals that were sacrificed by the people throughout the history of Israel, it's just staggering. The amount of blood spilt, all for acceptance from God, for the forgiveness of their sins, for favor in front of the Lord. Fast forward to the New Testament era, and the writer of Hebrews tells us this. He says that basically it's never enough. He says, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." It's impossible. You will always have to find another sacrifice. You always have to do something else to have favor with the Lord. All the animals that have gone through the temple, it's an amazing amount, uncountable amount. And then you have John the Baptist, who comes in our gospel this morning. And John is doing what he does. He's probably baptizing people. He's got his disciples around him. And he sees Jesus approaching him. And he looks at Jesus. And our translation doesn't have this here, but he is emphatic about it. He says, "Behold, look, see, here is the Lamb of God." John didn't listen to his mom. He knows, you know, moms tell you're not supposed to point. But John points. He sees Jesus and he says, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In other words, the sacrifice that Jesus will do for you, my disciples, is the sacrifice that all other sacrifices have been looking forward to. They've been pointing to this one moment in history where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would come and be the true Lamb of God, the one that actually does take sins away. But in our own lives, we continue to act as though Jesus is not enough. John tells his disciples, "Behold, this Lamb, this is the one. He is enough. It is through Him that your sins are taken away." But we live our lives as though that's not enough. We continue to work, we continue to try, we continue to do things as though, if I don't do this, I'm not forgiven. But the message of the gospel is that the blood of Christ is final. It and it alone is enough for you. We might ask ourselves and we might live as though we question whether the blood could possibly cover, well, that thing I did. Or we question whether the blood of Christ could possibly do anything for the person that I am. Behold, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Not just the Jewish people, not just the people that lived then, but the world, the cosmos. You are part of that. Behold, Jesus Christ, who is enough for you. For the sin that you carry, Jesus is enough. For the sin that you have a hard time forgiving yourself of, Jesus and His blood is enough. He takes away the sin of the world. Behold, see this, hear it, believe it. It is yours. And as you do believe it, we come together now to receive at the table that very blood, that body given for you for the forgiveness of sin. Behold the Lamb of God. He is enough for you. Let us pray. O gracious, merciful, and eternal Lord, we give you thanks for the one true Lamb, the one that is enough to take away our sin. Give us the assurance of what Jesus has done for us. Help us, O Lord, to live in the faith of what Christ has done, to receive it, to believe it, to live with it, to know that we are forgiven. And that when Jesus says it is finished, it truly is finished. We pray this in your name, O Lord. Amen.